Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is editor Nick Jones, who had the rare pleasure of putting together a compilation of the epic episodes of Star Trek, both the original series and the Next Generation. That book is out from Titan right now, and Nick is here to tell us about what went into putting it together. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Hi, Summer.
So you edited this together, was it only from issues of the Star Trek magazine, or were there other sources that you used?
No, it's all from Star Trek magazine. It's the magazine's been around for quite a while in various forms. I think the articles and features in the book, they're not just from, I think now currently Star Trek magazine's up to issue 70, or issue 70 is just about to come out, but it has a history before that, because in the UK at least, it was a Star Trek magazine for about, you know, over 100 issues before that as well. So it's digging right back in some cases to articles that came out in the early 2000s. So it's quite a job going through all that stuff. Basically entailed sitting in the Titan offices and digging through old issues of Star Trek magazine, some of which I knew already because I'm the editor of Star Trek magazine as well, and I was previously editor of the magazine in the early 2000s too, so I was fairly familiar with most of the material anyway. There were still things I found that I didn't realise had been in the magazine. That was kind of how it came together.
Now, how much of the magazine was available outside of the UK? Because I don't remember the old version from the 2000s that you're talking about.
Well, it was called Star Trek Monthly originally. There was an American Star Trek magazine at the same sort of time, Star Trek Communicator, I think, which Larry Nemechek used to be involved in. Star Trek Monthly, I think it started late 1990s. How many issues were there altogether before it became the US version? I think there were something like 100 and, you know, at least 120, 130 issues of Star Trek Monthly before Titan got the US license as well, because they were just publishing Star Trek Monthly in the UK. And then they got the US license as well, and then they relaunched it with a new number one in, I think that was mid 2000s that happened. So and at that point they renumbered it, and so altogether they must be getting on for 200 issues of Star Trek magazine, I think, altogether at this point.
So that's a lot of material you had to go through to find all the selections you wanted.
And also, you know, had to try and find the magazines in the first place, because they are not always organized in the most organized fashion at Titan. Basically going through a lot of magazines looking for things that might fit with the theme. We came up with the theme first. It was, it was my idea to do the epic episodes theme. And I had a fairly good idea that we'd be able to find stuff from the magazine for it. But I didn't know, you know, for sure that we'd be able to do it. But looking back through the old magazines, I managed to sort it out. So we looked through to find articles that fitted with the general theme of epic episodes. And some of them are articles about specific episodes, and some of them are interviews with some of the actors and some of the writers involved with a particular episode. So it's whatever we could come up with that kind of worked with that particular theme.
Are there any updated or new material with actors or writers who are still around?
No, not so much in this one. On these kind of books, they tend to be just material that we've published before. We do the occasional special whereby we'll republish older articles, and then we'll drop in some newer interviews as well, but not in this one, not so much.
So what went into deciding which episodes were the epic ones?
Good question. Yeah, it was a fairly broad theme. That was the idea was, you know, you could argue pretty much any episode really for an epic one. But I was thinking along the lines of any episodes that were two part episodes, any episodes that were kind of had an epic feel to them. They were television episodes, but you could easily see them as perhaps movies, or you know, they have that scope and that scale. So it was kind of, you know, obviously things like Best of Both Worlds and some of the bigger Next Generation two part episodes. But then episodes from the original series, like, I mean, there's a great big piece on the Doomsday Machine, which is kind of, it's got that sort of, you know, it's got that high stakes feel to it, that kind of, you know, that epic feel, really. So that was, you know, it's a fairly loose theme, but Space Seed is another one. You know, they're classic episodes, but they've also, you know, they resonate as well. You know, something like Space Seed obviously resonated, you know, through into the Wrath of Khan and beyond. So it was that kind of that, things that had that kind of feel, really. That's what we were looking for.
Well, from the table of contents, I have the list, so our fans and listeners can choose for themselves and argue amongst themselves whether or not those are epic or whether others should have been included. The episodes you guys have in this book are The Cage, Where No Man Has Gone Before, Space Seed, The Doomsday Machine, Operation Annihilate, then you have The Naked Time and The Naked Now, and then you have The City on the Edge of Forever and The Inner Light, then Balance of Terror and Unification, then Best of Both Worlds, Yesterday's Enterprise, Cause and Effect, and The Measure of a Man. Now, how much information was there on City on the Edge of Forever? Now, is this based on the script, or was there something else that was available to you guys that the fans couldn't have gotten a hold of back then?
What did we do on City on the Edge of Forever on this one? It was... Oh yes. Now this is basically this is one of the Times Arrow looked back at a particular episode. So it's using information that's probably these days it's fairly widely known, fairly widely available. But the article itself, I don't think the article itself is too old actually. I think it's probably only a few years old, that article. It depends how much of a Star Trek fan you are. If you're the kind of person who reads, you know, is going to read everything on Memory Alpha, who, you know, will know every single detail about an episode, has read obviously there've been books about the City on the Edge of Forever. It's a famous episode. I'm not sure whether you'll learn too much more, but hopefully you'll get a different spin on it. So that's often what we try to do in Star Trek Magazine, is try to give a different line of thought on an episode. We try and, you know, approach things from a different angle, because Star Trek's been written about so much over the years. It's been covered so much, and there's so much stuff online, let alone in books, that it's you might think there's nothing new to say, but there's always something new to say about, you know, a classic episode like that one. So it's more kind of, you know, like I said, a different line of attack with an episode.
So what connects it with The Inner Light and something like Balance of Terror with Unification?
Well, that's a good question. That was kind of what the articles were about back then. So it's the theme of that particular article is life and death in Star Trek. So it's you know, the City on the Edge of Forever, that's the theme in that one, and in The Inner Light as well. Picard lives an entire life in a space of, you know, an hour or whenever it is. So that's the idea with that particular. And that's something else we try to do in the magazine, is we look at themes across episodes. So certain episodes across different series will look at the same theme, and the magazine and this book are a perfect way to delve into that and to take a step back and take a broader view. Because, you know, if you go online, if you look on, I mentioned Memory Alpha, it's a great, you know, brilliant resource for Star Trek. There's all sorts of information there, but it doesn't give you the wider view. It doesn't, you know, what we can do is step back and take a broader view of the whole of Star Trek and look at certain episodes that have that are thematically linked, and then offer our take on that and whatever insights we have along those sort of lines.
That's pretty cool. Just because I would not have actually connected those. I'm not as a deep a diver into the Star Trek history as some other folks around here, but I would never have connected those. So I was just curious, like, wait, how'd they do that?
Well, that's what we do now. The people who write, I mean, you know, obviously me, I edit the magazine, but the writers we have working on the magazine are very, you know, obviously very versed in Star Trek, so. So they come a lot of the time they'll come to me with ideas, or I'll have ideas, or we'll bounce ideas back and forth, and we'll come up with something along those sort of lines. And it's hopefully people find it entertaining.
You've also got some interviews in here. You've got, of course, Leonard Nimoy, William Shatner, but you also have Malachi Throne and Jerome Bixby and.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, DC Fontana, John DeLancey. The selection of which interviews to include, what went into that? Because I'm sure you guys have, over the years, interviewed everybody involved in writing, directing, or acting in all the Star Treks up until, you know, recently, because the magazine is still going, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's still going. Yeah, there's an issue out at the moment, and issue 70's out in a week or two's time. So yeah, still going strong. The selection, there is a slightly prosaic reason for the interviews that we put in there, is that those are the ones we haven't republished before, because we have done a few of these books now. So mining the Star Trek magazine archives, and what you don't want to do is end up using an interview that you've already used in a previous book. So, you know, that slightly limits you and what you can put in. But again, more thematically, it was finding interviews that worked with the episodes that we'd alighted on for, you know, the epic episodes. So obviously, you know, Shatner and Nimoy, because there's so many original series episodes in there. But then some of the less well-known players I wanted to get in there as well, like say Malachi Throne from the Menagerie.
He was the Talosian, right?
Yes, and also played the Admiral as well. So, trying to offer a bit more insight from some of the more minor players as well in some of these episodes. I mean, you know, there's you are slightly limited in doing these books and what you can find, you know, because while we've covered most of these episodes in the magazine, or, you know, obviously we have covered all these episodes in the magazine, we've only covered them in a certain amount of depth. And, you know, the interviews that I selected were from right across the history of the magazine. So sometimes they talk about the episodes in question. Sometimes they're just talking more generally about Star Trek. So, but it was what I thought would work in terms of the theme. So I had a great big spreadsheet that I was working on with this book, and things were dropping in and out as I found them and as I remember them. So it was a bit of a big jigsaw puzzle, really. And also the other thing is trying to find article, because of there was a certain extent, and we had to, it's like a, you have to fit articles in with other articles. So, you know, you can't just have a random page there that's got nothing on it. They all have to work, you know, they have to click together in terms of the length of the articles and how they fit together that way. So that was, you know, it was a bit of a lot of moving parts and a bit of a headache, but it kind of got there. And I think it works quite well. It's, you know, it's not so much, it's not really structured in a chronological sort of way. Obviously the original series material is at the front of the book, and then Next Generation towards the back, but they cross over a bit. But it's more, I try to structure it more like to have some of the bigger episodes in the earlier part of the book and in the earlier part of the Next Generation section. So Best of Both Worlds comes quite early in that section. And then some of the smaller, but, you know, still relatively epic episodes as the book moves on from there. So I think it, you know, I think you can, hopefully you can dip into it and just read bits here and there. But hopefully if you do want to read it, you know, from the front to the back, it should work that way as well. Well, that was the idea anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a lovely looking book, and I'm sure that there are photographs in here that people probably haven't seen since they were used in whichever episodes, original issues of the magazine were used in.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's some great archive stuff in here that you know, you won't see it online. You'll see bits here and there, but there's some behind the scenes stuff that there's some lovely shots of, you know, Calm. Not just from the original series, not from Spacey, but from Wrath of Khan as well, where he's being made up. You know, pictures like behind the scenes, things like that, which you don't really come across that often. So, there's some great visual stuff in there too. Mm.
So this would actually be a good volume for a Star Trek collector to have, because if I'm remembering correctly, a lot of those older Star Trek magazines are impossible to find these days.
I think you'd struggle actually to find, you know, if you go on eBay, you might find some, but I think Titan do have a complete set, but even they struggle to find some issues. They were digging in the basement, trying to track particular issues down, and not, you know, a lot of it isn't digitized either. It's Star Trek, it's been going for so long, they don't really have, you know, digital copies of a lot of the magazines. So it really is a case of going back, finding articles and even scanning articles sometimes, because that's the only way to reproduce them. So I think, you know, I think if you could spend an awful lot of time trying to find the original magazines that these things, that the articles appear in, or you could just buy the book, which is a lot simpler.
It is a lot simpler, and it is available from Titan Books, and we will have links to that. The other question I had, how much coverage is the magazine planning for Discovery and for the new series that Picard will be starring in?
We've been covering Discovery pretty thoroughly since it started. Mm-hmm. I took over the magazine as editor start of last year. I was editor, like I said before, 2000 to 2002. So that was when I was originally editor, and I inherited it again start of last year. But ever since Discovery was announced, we've been covering it, you know, in depth.
That's what I was going to ask. Did you get in there early before?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
We were straight in there. And we've been, you know, the next issue coming up is a new season issue. So there's interviews with Sonequa Martin-Green and who else is in that one? Alex Kurtzman is in it. Heather Cadine is in it. You know, all the main players are in it. Ethan Peck, we've got an interview with him. We've got an interview with Anson Mount. So the theme of that issue is it's kind of the ties between Discovery and the original series. So again, what I was talking about earlier, stepping back and taking a broader view, that's something we're doing with Discovery as well, not just the, you know, older Star Trek. So yeah, we're certainly covering that. And yes, we're covering, you know, we've been covering the announcements about the Picard show, and obviously there's the Giorgio show that's been announced now, and Lower Decks as well. So there's going to be a lot of Star Trek coming out, and we'll be covering it all, as well as, you know, still going back and looking at classic Trek and you know, offering that kind of thing too. It's a balance of that, really. You know, there's a lot of fans, a lot of Star Trek fans out there, and they all like different things. They all like different eras of Star Trek, and there's a lot of newer fans now, younger fans really into Discovery, and so Star Trek magazine is quite a good way of, you know, introducing them to the wider world of Star Trek as well. So
cool. Well, you guys are doing a great job, and I think there's a channel here called Heroes and Icons, and every now and then I'll catch that they do like a Star Trek marathon run. They'll have an episode of the original series. They'll have an episode of the animated series right after that. Then they'll have an episode of Next Generation. Then they'll have an episode of Deep Space Nine, then Voyager. Then after Voyager, they'll have an episode of Enterprise. So that's like an all-day thing. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, cool.
Like all Star Trek in one place. Cool. But Nick, I'd like to thank you today for your indulgence on stoking the flames of the Star Trek fans yet again.
No problem. That's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
So yeah, if you're interested in checking out more from Titan, both comics and books, they have all the Doctor Who stuff, a lot of the various TV-related magazines. I was a big fan of the Babylon 5 magazine that Titan put out years ago, and I collected all of them, still have them. I think I ended up selling off my duplicates, but yeah, I have the entire set, and I'm so, so happy about that. I think we have more stuff coming up, anniversary stuff for Battlestar Galactica coming up soon-ish, and more comics coverage, which I'm trying to expand both here and at Writers After Dark, so keep an eye out on that. And for our loyal listeners, I will tell you to keep an ear out for the next upcoming episodes because we have more contests coming along. More contests that you have to follow instructions that you only find in the shows to be able to enter, submit your name for them. Still need to explain a few things about how the contests work. If you don't give me a valid email address or check your email when I reply to them, you're gonna miss out. Believe it or not, the first two people I contacted who submitted their names as entries for the Star Trek Stellar Cartography book never got back to me. So that book will be up for a contest. I guess it's a redraw. Star Trek Stellar Cartography Take Two. How's that? So hopefully this time I will pick a slightly simpler clue. But if you don't answer the email, I can't help you. I really can't. And I have such lovely things to give away. I have the coolest press kit that I've received in a while. I think the press kit for Being Human's final season was better. Actually, no, I take that back. The Harry Potter press kit that Sci-Fi Channel sent out last year was amazing. But I have a press kit for Deadly Class, which is a very, very accurate replica of Marcus's backpack, which is completely filled with cool stuff. Maybe I'll take a picture of it and post it on the Twitter feed. But eventually, that will also become someone's gift. It's very cool. You should check it out when I post the pictures. And I don't think I've talked about it much yet because we haven't done any Deadly Class coverage yet, but I cannot get out of my head how distracting it is for me personally that the name of the Academy is King's Dominion. I know this comic came out 4 or 5 years ago, but even though they set the story in the 80s, the fact that they named the school King's Dominion when there has been an amusement park in Virginia called King's Dominion that has been around for at least 45 years, because I went there all the time as a child. It's so distracting. They say King's Dominion, and I think of the Rebel Yell roller coaster. I'm like, really? And that distraction, that momentary yanking of my attention out of the story, the plot, the characters, just because I think roller coaster, whenever they say King's Dominion, it makes enjoying the show harder. And I'm wondering if I'm the only one. Am I the only one who grew up in the Mid-Atlantic region and used to go to King's Dominion 3 or 4 times every summer? Literally, somebody tell me, please. Anyway, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call them in. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, throw out a comment to the other listeners. I will play them on the show if you want me to. Or you can just send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Google Play, through Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can also leave a review for the show on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let people know you are enjoying this particular podcast, and maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can find us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. And yes, I do get into conversations with folks on Twitter about the shows or the reviews. So, if you're curious, join in or leave your comment on the website, sliceofscifi.com. You can follow us on Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And on YouTube, where we have videos from Noah and Darren and from our frequent partner in geek nerd crime, Nerdsoul. His video reviews of various comics related and special events in Los Angeles related stuff are a lot of fun. He is a huge Supernatural fan, so if you are too, go over there, tell him we say hi. I'd like to thank everybody who is supporting the websites and the podcasts through Patreon and PayPal. If you want to add your support, the place to go to is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. I am thinking about restructuring some of the perks because the biggest thing I have to give away are books and some DVDs, but some folks are not really interested in some of the gifts I am proffering. So weigh in on that. Let me know if the books I receive and review here on Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark are things you are interested in. It's sort of like 50-50 right now. Half the people who have become winners of books are eager, and the other half are sort of indifferent. They're not interested whatsoever. So I'm trying to make this more equitable to help express my gratitude to everyone who is supporting through Patreon, to the folks who are still donating through PayPal. Got a large donation over the holidays. Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't have your permission to state your name, but your gift was timely and welcome. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And if, like I said, if you want to either become a regular patron. The link for that is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if you just want to make a donation every now and then, the link for that is paypal.me/scifisummer. And as always, I like to throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for their musical contribution to the show. They did the theme music and the interstitial sections. Wonderful job. And if you want to hear more geek rock by them, go to their website, sci-fried.com. Buried somewhere in there is their cover. They did a cover of Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls called For Whom Babylon 5 Tolls, and it's just delicious if you're a rock and roll fan, so check that out. And of course, their Star Trek tribute, since we're talking Star Trek this episode. The anniversary video they did for Star Trek called A Tall Ship. You can find that on their YouTube page. Just search YouTube for Sci-Fried and you will be greatly entertained. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening and supporting. And like I said, let me know how I can better serve you. I can better gift you. Because I have too many books and not enough space. But we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.